follows Sanhedrin, and many of the Mishnayos are regarding Limud HaTorah, relevant for Dayanim, for Rabbanim, for Talmidei Chachamim. So the Mishnah in Perek Beis, the Mishnah Ches mentions Chamishit Talmidim Hoyla L'Rabbi Chaim at Zakai, and it lists off the five Talmidim, and there's a Machlokes which of the five Talmidim, if you would put Olo Chachmei Yisrael on one scale and one of the five Talmidim on the other scale, which of the five Talmidim would outweigh the others? What's the issue? Because Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was a big baki, the Mishnah says, Rech Metzaka was Meino Shvachem, it was a boy Sud She'enem Abetipo, he remembered everything. And Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch was a Chorif, he was a Mayan HaMizgaber, he was always an original thinker, he had original things to say. So the Gemara has in the end of Hyrius that if two people are drowning and you can only save one, you only have the ability to save one. Two people's lives are b'sakana, you can only save one. So whom do you save? What's the kedima? So the klal in the Mishnah is whoever's needed for klal Yisrael most, that's the one that you save. So if one is a general in the army, the other one is just a soldier, so you save the general in the army. If you have a Talmid Chacham and a not Talmid Chacham, so Klal Yisrael needs a Talmid Chacham. What if both are Talmid Chachamim? One is a Chorif, one is a Baki. So that's a Machlokes in the Gemara. Where the Sinai Adif or Oike Horem Adif. Sinai is a term that represents the fact that the person is a Baki. He knows everything that was told to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. And Oike Horem represents the idea of a Chorif, a big Bal Mechadish. So the Mefarshim point out that that Machlokes in the... There it's a matter of life and death. Whom should you save and whom should you let die if you can only save one? Which is Adif. So that's the Machlokes here in the Mishnah. That's what the Mefarshim point out. If you have all of Chachmei Yisrael on one Kaf Maznaim and you have Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch, he's the Mayan HaMizgaber. On the other, he would outweigh all the others. That's one version. And the other version is no. If you have Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus on the other one, whom Achrias Kulim, because Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was the Baki. Some Gedolim say that the name of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, that the whole Machlokes only was relevant at the time that the Torah Shebaal Peh was not yet written down. But now you have all the Mishnayos, all the Gemaras written down, and you have on the internet, you can just Google in any shayla you have, you can find all the Marmakayim. So then we don't say today that the Baki is more important than the Chorif. We have the Bekiyas, all the Svarim are printed, and they find everything in 2 minutes, you find all the Marmakayimus. So they say that Bismanazah, the Chorif is Adif. But the Chorif also, the Mayan HaMizgaba, means the one who is the original thinker, Lasuk Hishmaitz, Alibi the Hilchas, and that's time he comes up with wild ideas. He's an original thinker within guidelines. In the opening Mishnah, the Mishnah says that you shouldn't make a mistake and think that the more important mitzvahs you get more schar, and the less important mitzvahs you get less schar. You can never tell what amount of schar you will get for observing the mitzvahs. How does one establish, how do they determine how much schar you get? So the Mishnah says in a different place that lefum tzaira agra, Mishnah Pirkei Avos, that the schar that one gets, agra is schar, the schar you get is depending on how difficult it was for you to fulfill a mitzvah. Let's say there's a person who finds it very difficult to learn. He spends 3 hours and he learned 10 lines in the Gemara. And he's not so sure what it says in the 10 lines. And another person, in 1 hour, he'll learn 5 blot Gemara. He knows how to learn very well. And it comes very easily. So this poor guy who spent 3 hours to break his head to learn the 10 lines in the Gemara doesn't fully understand it. He deserves more schar. He will get more schar. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Lefum tzaira agri. He gets his schar according to how difficult it was to observe the mitzvahs. So that's what the Mishnah says. Observe mitzvah kala kavachamru. You should try to observe all the mitzvahs. Don't make up your mind. You're going to pay more attention to the more important mitzvahs, because for performing those mitzvahs, you get more schar. You should try to observe all the mitzvahs that come your way, because you can't really tell how the schar is determined. And aside from that, the Mishnah says in the first parak in Pirkei Avos, you shouldn't do the mitzvahs. Al tiyu kabodah hamashamshen sarav hamanasal kabel schar. You shouldn't do mitzvahs in order to get schar. You should do mitzvah because that's the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next line in Mishnah Aleph is questionable. How do you translate the words of the Mishnah? Have a machashav hefsen mitzvah keneged schara, schara vera keneged hefsedos. I think usually the pshat is, and the Mishnah is assumed to be, let's say it costs a fortune of money to buy a pair of tefillin, a good pair of tefillin. So you'll think maybe I shouldn't spend so much money on a tefillin. So the Mishnah says no. Have a machashav hefsen mitzvah, the money that you spend to be a Shem Shabbos and to keep kosher and to keep to have a nice pair of tefillin, it costs a lot of money to be an observant Jew. You should offset that. You should balance out of your mind. Can they get schor? Look how much reward you're going to get for observing all the mitzvahs and to keep kosher and so on. And a fellow wants to take a job when he's going to work on Shabbos, he's going to make more money. So he has in mind schar aveira. If he machal Shabbos, he get more money. You make more money, and if you don't keep kosher, you save yourself. Kosher food is twice as expensive as non-kosher, so you should make a calculation. Schar aveira that you're going to gain, but keneged hafseira, hafseida, you're going to have a hefsed. You're going to be punished for doing the averas. So it's usually assumed that the pashat pshat and mitzvah, the Mishnah is encouraging us to observe the mitzvahs properly, all the mitzvahs and all the averas. We shouldn't violate the averas. We shouldn't think that we're going to gain by doing averis, and we shouldn't think that we're going to lose by doing mitzvahs. No, because the schar for the mitzvah will balance off the hepsid that you're going to have. But some of the mefarshim learn the Mishnah just to reverse on the side of the Likutim, that the Gemara has in rare cases there's a principle of chatei b'shvil shetiske, rare cases. By the Hasidim, in the beginning of the movement of Hasidus, said they did it every day. They would go to mikveh in the morning, and they would be learning on Shabbos morning. They still do on Satmar, they do like that. On Shabbos morning, they learn with their children, the Ma'aseh Sedra, and then they learn with the children what they learned in the Gemara. They don't mosey along to start davening till 11 o'clock in the morning. They start davening after the Zman Kriyash, after the Zman Tvila, they do everything wrong. But they're doing it all, l'shem shamayim. It's an aver l'shmo. They're missing this man kriyashma, aver l'shmo. So Rav Chaim Volozhin has a whole attack. He lived at the beginning of the movement of Hasidus. So he has a whole attack against that. He said, look, if the train leaves at 9 o'clock in the morning, if you come 1 minute after 9, so you missed the train. He says, if you miss this man kriyashma by 2 minutes, that's like lighting the Erez Chanukah on Purim and reading the Megillah on Chanukah and blowing shofar on Yom Kippur and fasting on Sukkot. If it's off for 5 minutes, it's like it's off for 5 months. There are rules and regulations. You have to do the mitzvah in the proper time. Either is a concept of aver l'shmo. You want to put yourself in the mood, so you want to make all the hachanas before you start davening, so your davening will be enhanced. So he makes a very sharp statement, which his Talmidim claim is an exaggeration. Pashta says it is an exaggeration. He said that this concept of aver l'shma only existed kodem matan Torah, when the people weren't really obligated to observe the mitzvahs, so it was all voluntary. The obvious kimo kala tarakula chalai nitna, they volunteered it. So Yaakov Avinu saw Beruach HaKodesh that he's going to marry two sisters, which the Torah prohibited later. Not let marry Shteyachos. And he saw that if he marries these two sisters, he will succeed in having all the Shvatim. So he went for it. He went and he did it. So in the Kodesh Matan Torah, it was reasonable to do Aver L'shma. But Kimish and Nitan Torah, Neschat Shalach, you have to follow all the dinim, and you never say Gedol Aver L'shma. That's not that. So the Talmidim write, just like they wrote the Hanhogas of the Vilna Gaon up, and it's called the Maisa Rav, all the Hanhogas of the Vilna Gaon. That's an expression that appears in the Gemara. Maisa Rav means if the Rebbe gave a shir and he said the din is X, Y, Z, but then you see the Rebbe doesn't do like that. When he davens, when he likes tefillin, when he sits in sukkah, he does differently. So which should you follow? So the Gemara says, Maisa Rav, when the Talmud Chacham acts in a certain way, that's a bigger psak, that's a stronger psak halacha than what he said in public. means we have a tradition. That's the way that people observe the mitzvahs. So the so there's a sefer. Ma'aser Rav has all the hanhagos of the Vilna Gaon, and then one of the talmidim, Rav Chaim Elozhiner, wrote a sefer that's called Keser Rosh. His name was Rav Osher. So he wrote Birchas Rosh. He gave shurim in Valozhiner Yeshiva. So he has a Birchas Rosh on Brochas, and a sefer Birchas Rosh on Nedorim. And excuse me, on Nozir, not on the dorm. And part of the Birchas Rosh on Nozir is printed in the back of the Vilna Shas. The Hagoyas on the Taisusin is printed in the Shas. And the Chidushim that he gave, the Shirim that he gave, that's a separate Sefer Birchas Rosh. So the same Talmud of Rav Chaim Elozhiner, Rav Osher, who wrote this Svarim Birchas Rosh, wrote a Sefer Keser Rosh. That's the Hanhogas of Rav Chaim Elozhiner. So in that Sefer Keser Rosh, see, the Hanhogas of the Vilna Gaon, those are regular things. They're different opinions. So the Vilna Gaon used to follow that opinion, Keser Rosh has all kinds of things. We're not familiar at all with these opinions, unusual things. A private Lajana follows everything from the Vilna Gaon. Plus, he had his own unusual Hanhogas. So that's why he writes that what Rav Chaim Elozhiner wrote in his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, that the concept of Aver Lishma was only Kodem Matan Torah, that's an exaggeration. Because the Gemara has halacha lemaisa cases of avera lishma. It's rare. La'acha matan Torah, it's unusual. It's only a rare case that you say gedola avera lishma. But kodem matan Torah was more possible. So that's what some of the poshim say. The Mishnah is telling us just the reverse. If you're obligated to perform a mitzvah, but by doing this mitzvah is going to be a big kilkul in Yerushamayim or something, so then the Mishnah says, don't do the mitzvah. Do avera lishma. Don't do the mitzvah. And sometimes to do an avera is recommended. If the avera, schar avera, can they get hefseda? Sometimes you say, fakir, you should do the avera. That gedol avera lishma. Avera lishma. Esther Hamalka was an Eishes Ish. The Gemara says that she was married to Mordechai Batid lo labas, atikri labas ala labayis, ubeisizu ishtoi. So Kozman, that Achashverosh insisted that she should be with him. The Gemara says, Pikuach Nefesh was Deicha Kol HaTorah Kula. This should be Gili Arayis. So Tosfos discusses why it's not a violation of Gili Arayis. But then she went on her own. And she went on her own to beg on behalf of the Jewish people who shouldn't kill the Jews. The Gemara understands when she went on her own, she was going to go sleep with him. So how was she allowed to do that? That's not Yehorek Valyabar. It wasn't threatening to kill her then. So the poskim say La Locha, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That's Aver Lishma is Mutter, even though it's Gili Arayis. We allow Aver Lishma for the sake of Hatzolos Klal Yisrael. Also included in Aver Lishma. The Gemara just says, you don't say Chatei Bishul Sheyizkei Chavercha. That you don't say. I should do it Aver in order to save someone else. You don't say. That's in Shabbos Navdala and Manalov. So Tosfos has contradictions from other Gemara. So Tosfos says, yeah, in rare cases we even apply that. Chatei b'shul she'iska chavercha. Even in that case you have it. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes that halacha lemaisa, that Tosfos. In rare cases we say chatei b'shul she'iska chavercha also. So they give the example of a case. If they notify the father, in the Middle Ages, this was a common practice. The non-Jews would kidnap Jewish children, the young Jewish children. They would convert them and raise them as Christians, a big mitzvah to convert all the Jews. That's the hoping for the second coming of Messiah, if the Jews will all convert to Christianity. So we're Ma'akev the Gula, as far as they're concerned, because we don't accept Jesus. That's what it means, that the Jews are responsible for the killing of Jesus. What do you mean we killed Jesus? Maybe the Jews killed Jesus, that was almost 2,000 years ago. What does it have to do with us? No, the Jews are still killing Jesus because of the fact that we don't accept him as a God. We're still killing Jesus, that's what it means. And then when they, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, when they had this big conference of cardinals and they all voted and they decided that the Jews are no longer responsible for the killing of Jesus, so Turka de Dibra, in that same document, they said they're going to step up missionary activities. What does it mean? Why we're not responsible? For 2,000 years, we were responsible for killing Jews. How come now we're not responsible? They're going to see to it that we should all convert. That was in the same document. They'll see to it that all the Jews will convert. So we won't be responsible for killing Jesus. Killing Jesus means that we don't believe in him. Nietzsche has a book that the shamus is walking around in the city ringing a bell announcing that there's a funeral. So he says, that's how the book begins. Rav Soloveitchik said he's not even allowed to say the sentence. He said, he's announcing who's dead. So he says, G-O-D is dead. What does it mean? People don't believe in him. That's what it means that he's dead, as far as they're concerned. We are responsible for killing Jesus, Misa, because we don't believe in Jesus. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that if they notified the father, this is in the days of the Bali Atesus, the days in the Middle Ages, this was going on all the time, notified the father that the Christians kidnapped his young daughter and they're going to convert her and she's going to be brought up as a Christian, it's a mitzvah that the father should be, they notify him on Shabbos, it's a mitzvah that he has to be Mechal Shabbos to run to save the daughter from Shmat. Because sometimes you do say, if it's an extreme case. You don't say, if it's an adult. See, if it's a young child, so I'm going to raise the daughters. Because it's kemat vadai that my children will be observant if I'm going to raise them. I should be Mechal Shabbos to save someone else from some avera, some terrible avera. How do I know? Tomorrow he'll decide to be a Mechal Shabbos. So maybe by being Mechal Shabbos won't accomplish too much. But if it's my daughter and I'm going to bribe the Christians to free her and I'm going to raise her, I'm going to see to it that she will be an observant Jew. So then it's a good case of Avera Lishma. Chatei Bishul Shiyiska Havercha, that's a Korb Levadai that it's going to be. Rav Soloveitchik used to speak every year by the Mizrahi Convention. So they would always announce before he would speak, when they would introduce Rabbi Soloveitchik, there would always be a representative from the Israeli government would be there. The Israeli ambassador to America, some representative from the government. So I remember on one occasion, he was complaining about missionary activities in Eretz Yisrael. So he told over a story that there was a religious doctor, a Jewish religious doctor in Warsaw, I think he said, and the phone was ringing on Shabbos, kept on ringing and ringing and ringing. So he finally asked a non-Jew to please answer the telephone and find out what they want. So the non-Jew picks up the phone. He says, yes, who is it? So he says, it's Soloveitchik from Brisk. So he says, the doctor ran over, he answered the phone. Rabbi Soloveitchik from Brisk, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik is calling him on the phone. So he said, yeah, what is it? So he says, they showed me in the newspaper, in the Shabbos Digger newspaper, they showed him that they found a Jewish child on the steps of the police station in Warsaw. Rabbi Chaim lived in Brisk, that's not in Warsaw. And they gave over the child to the government agency to see that it should be raised by a Christian family. So he says that then the Mishnah says that whenever you find a tinok mushloch bo'ir, Sheruba Yisrael, if the majority of the women who are of age to have babies are Jewish, then you have to assume the child is Jewish. So he says, that Shmad, you can't let them have a Jewish baby brought up by Catholics. So you have to go. So he called, Rav Chaim called his doctor in Warsaw. You live in Warsaw, go and bribe the police and make sure you get the baby, make sure that it's raised by a Jewish family. So he said, that's not, strictly speaking, that's not called pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh only if the person's life is endangered. But it's in Yiddish, they call it pikuach hanefesh. There's pikuach haguf, when the body is endangered. And then pikuach hanefesh, if they're going to shmad the child. But strictly speaking, in Shulchan Aruch, that's the sif in Shulchan Aruch, that's called chatei bishul shiyiska chavercha, because it's a very extreme case. Sometimes you do like that in business. Let's say you're prepared to invest $1,000 because there's a possibility you make hundreds of thousands of dollars, but you're not gonna invest $500,000 because you may gain $10 revach. You may lose all the money. You have to weigh and measure how much of the hefset is there, how much of the schar is there. So to invest a slight avera, you have to determine which averas are worse than which. To invest, to violate a slight aver in order to gain more later, and ruchnias, so that's a reasonable investment. So the Mishnah is saying just the reverse from what we usually assume. Not that you don't worry about the $1,000 that it's going to cost you to keep kosher and to buy a nice pair of tefillin and so on. The reverse. Mishnah is telling you sometimes you do aver lishmo. So I remember at that Mizrahi gathering, so Rav Soloveitchik, he always used to give the drosh in Yiddish. And then they had announced before he started to speak, they greet the Israeli ambassador who came. I don't know if the ambassador understood Yiddish, because in Eretz they don't speak Yiddish. So Rav Soloveitchik, after he gave the whole drosh, and he was screaming about the missionary activities in Eretz Israel. So he said in Hebrew, and if the representative from Medina Israel doesn't understand, I'll say it over in Hebrew. He said it again. He said, go back and tell Golda Meir that we're going to put in Cherem here with screaming. Say, dear fella. Yeah. Then Mishnah Beis, also a recommendation as far as learning is concerned. Some people sit and learn, and they don't work for a living. So the Mishnah recommends, Poshim Shad Yofet Talmud Torah Im Derech Eretz. You should work, all the Tanoim had the Rabbi Yochanan Sandler was a shoemaker. They all worked for a living. The Mishnah recommends, if you're only going to sit and learn, this can a lot of times lead to sin. Idle hands lead to sin. Kol Torah Shein Ima Melocha, if you don't have a parnasa, sofa betela begarera savoin. That's a big question. How come the Mishnah has you're not allowed to use the Torah? Atah says a Torah kardam lachbabo. So that's a big question. Rabbis are paid a salary. Rabbis and yeshiva are paid a salary. So we're all in violation of the din of kardam lachbabo. So the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos is very sharp about this. He's very opposed to rabbis or rabbis taking any salary. He says that's against the Mishnah. Everyone has to work. The Rambam was a doctor. Or he was a super genius. He was a doctor and one of the greatest of all the Rishonim of all times. So he was able to do it. So the Kesem Mishnah has a long comment on that Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, that what can we do? Today there's a Yiridus Haderus, and we're not all such geniuses like the Rambam. So we violate this din. And he quotes the pasuk that the Gemara quotes, Islas Lashem Eferet Torasechem. The Gemara quotes that as far as writing down the Torah Shebal Peh. There was, it's really should have been against the din. We spoke the other day about writing down Torah Shebal Peh. So in the days of the Amorim, days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi, that's when they wrote down the Mishnayos, and then they gave Shia from a text. So the Pashtus says it should have been us, but we have no choice. That's the question. What does that mean? Islas Lashem Hefer Tesech, we actually violate a din. It's an Aver Lishma. So there's a Rashi on the Mishnah in Perek Haroya, the last Perek in Maseches Brachas. The Mishnah says, Eslas Lashem Eferet Teresecha. Mishnah quotes that pasuk with respect to Shol B'Shlam Chavera B'Shem. When you greet someone, say, mention Shem Hashem. Bruchim Atem Lashem. So there's, even though it seems like a violation of Motzi Shem Shamayim B'Latola, Mishnah says it was necessary then that there should be Margal Shem Shamayim B'Fiyem. So Rashi has one word on that Mishnah. He says, if you have a big shasat chak, it's permissible to dobah hanira iser. He adds on one word, dobah hanira iser. It appears to be an iser, but it really isn't. In other words, he assumes that you don't really say Islas Hashem Beferet Teresecha to violate an iser. It may appear to be an iser. So then you have to investigate in each and every case where the Gemara, the poskim, apply that klal. Why is it only a dove hanira isa? Okay. But this what the Kesem Mishnah applies that klal to this case as well. The rabbis are salaried, so we got no choice. The Chasam Sofer has such a tshuva. One of his Talmidim asked him, is it permissible to be a rabbi in a community to get a salary? So he writes in the tshuva, it's a little silly that you're asking me. Don't you know that I'm salaried by the community? That's my whole parnasa. Of course I assume that it's permissible. You mean, you want me to explain why it's permissible? But of course it's permissible. What kind of shayla is that? So he quotes the Gemara in the last Perek in Ksubas. The Gemara says that a Rebbe in a yeshiva or a rabbi in a shul is not paid a salary for teaching Torah. You're not permitted to take a salary for doing a mitzvah. You can only take salary schar batola. how can I teach Torah for nothing? But how can I teach Torah if I have to put food on the table? I have to have a parnosa. I have to feed my wife and my children. So the community invests money in me. They pay me money that I shouldn't take another job. But then when I teach Torah, so I'm teaching for nothing. It's a difference. There was here in the yeshiva taka, they had they worked out a whole program for the college faculty, how much sick pay, how much sick leave you're allowed to have, and they don't deduct from your salary. So let's say if a professor is sick 1 week, so they don't deduct them from his salary. So 1 week the students didn't have any lectures, but let's say the professor is sick. How many weeks are there in the course? How many classes are there? 15 classes in each term? I don't know. 15 weeks? Not even sure. So let's say he's sick 9 out of 15 weeks. So he didn't, 10 out of the 15 weeks. So all he taught anything. So they worked out a whole system when the school does pay him a salary, when not. So then Dr. Lam met with the Rabbeim and he wanted to work out some rules and regulations for sick pay for the Rabbeim. When are they entitled? So one of the Rabbeim said, we never get salary for teaching at all. We always teach for nothing. Al Pidin, you're paying us not to take another job. So if we're sick, so we're doing the same. We're not taking another job. And we're not able to teach Torah. So he said, okay. Dr. Lehm said, that's the end of the discussion. That there are no rules and regulations for the Rabbeim. The Rabbeim are paid schar batala. They're only paid not to take another job. If the community thinks that they need this guy, same thing doctors. Doctors are allowed to get the same salary as a Rebbe. Rebbe's allowed to get the same salary as a doctor. A doctor, the Rambam writes, a doctor is fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Because the Gemara says it's a Kalvachemer. If he lost $5, it's a Din Hashavas Aveda. So if Aveda's Gufo, if he is lost, the fellow's wandering around, he doesn't have his bearings. Or the person is sinning, the person is doing an Avera, or he doesn't know the Dinim. So you're doing Hashabbos Gufo, if a person is sick, and then you restore him to his good health. So that's a chelik of the mitzvah of Hashabbos Aveda. Hashabbos Aveda's Gufo is a kavachamer from Aveda's Mamayna. Certainly have to take care. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to charge money for teaching Torah. You're not allowed to charge money for doing Hashabbos Aveda either. So the doctors are not allowed to, just like the Rabbi, doctors are not allowed to charge money. They're only allowed to take schar batola. What's schar batala? Who pays them? So they divide it up. They have so many patients all year long. Let's say a fellow's a doctor in New York. So the community in Louisiana don't need him to be a doctor. He lives in New York. He doesn't help anybody in Louisiana. But all of his patients in New York, who are nana from his services, he treats them for nothing. The surgeries and the treatment, everything he does is for nothing. But they have to pay him schar batala. So you divide it among all the patients. Each patient shares by giving whatever, $100, $200 to the doctor, schar batala. But the doctor is really doing his services for nothing. The same as the rabbeim. So the rabbeim and the doctors are entitled to the same salary. The schar batala is not always the case. Sometimes doctors are paid more than rabbeim. But strictly speaking, it's supposed to be the same. The Eglei Tal has in the Hakdama to his Sefer, Eglei Tal is a Sefer on Hilchas Shabbos, the Lametes Malochas, that's why he calls it Tal, drops of dew. So the Eglei Tal was written by Chassidus Rebbe, Rabbi Avraham Lesochat Shover. He died around 100 years ago. He was a Goyin, a Goyinim. So he has a Kasha in the Hakdama to his Sefer on Hilchas Shabbos. That the Gemara has a statement in Psachim and a few other places, Le'olam, a person should be Oisik B'Torah Mitzvah Shalol Lishma, should be Toch Shalol Lishma or Bo Lishma. So he's bothered with the Kasha, there is a Machlekes HaTanayim, whether Mitzvah Tzvichas Kavona or Mitzvah Zayn Tzvichas Kavona. So if one should, and there's a Shailon Shulchan Aruch, how we Paskin, Magan Avram, the three different opinions, and Magan Avraham Paskin is the, like the Radvaz and the Ramban, a compromise opinion that by mitzvahs derais and mitzvahs sichas kavana, by mitzvahs derabanan, mitzvahs ain't sichas kavana. Tosis points out that the two different sugis, the suga in the end of Psochim, the last parak that talks about mitzvahs sichas kavana, is talking about Morib Bismanazeb, which is only the Rabbanan. And the sugi in Brocha is only talking about mitzvahs derais, and there's room to distinguish. So the Ramban Paskin, the Radvaz Paskin is like that also. The Magen Avraham quotes it. We Paskin a compromise. Mitzvahs deraisa tzichas kavana, mitzvahs derabbanan ain't tzichas kavana. So Degli Tal is bothered with the kasha. How can anybody hold that mitzvahs ain't tzichas kavana? How can you say liolam a person should do mitzvahs afilu shelo lishma? Shemitoch shelo lishma bal lishma. But if you hold that mitzvahs deraisa tzichas kavana, you got to do the mitzvah shelo lishma, so he won't be yotze anything. He won't be yotze the mitzvah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the kasha was based on a mistake. He said, what does lishma have to do with mitzvah tzichas kavana? Mitzvah tzichas kavana means the person has a mind, he knows he's doing a mitzvah. Let's say the guy's lazy, he would really lay in bed all day long, he wouldn't learn. But he lives in a community where the mechabit talmid hachacham, so he learns Torah in order that he should gain kavod. Or they're giving awards. So whoever does best in learning is going to get some kesha water, some kavod or something. So he learns, he's encouraged to learn, shalo lishma. But he knows that when you learn it is a mitzvah. That's mitzvah, tzichas kavana means, I know that this is a mitzvah and I'm fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. Lishma means, what motivated me to do the mitzvah? These are two different things. So here, the Mishnah has a very fascinating statement. That when you do askanas, you have to do it lishma. All other mitzvahs, it doesn't matter what motivates the person. It would be purer, would be nicer if the person would do the mitzvah lishem shamayim. But even if he does shalom lishma, if the motivation to do the mitzvah is not lishma, it's still a key my mitzvah. He has kavanah lot, so he knows that wearing tefillin is a mitzvah. He's doing the mitzvah. When it comes to askanas, we say it has to be done lishma. Why? Because in askan, let's say there's a demonstration in front of the Russian embassy. So they have buses taking all the guys to the demonstration. Years ago, there always used to be demonstration. So this guy, he's going to go to the demonstration. He's not going lishma. He hopes that he'll meet a nice girl there. He wants to have a day off. He doesn't want to work hard. So they said whoever goes to the demonstration won't be marked absent for the day. So he wants to relax, so he goes. So then you don't get schar for the mitzvah of askanas, because askanas, there is no delineated maisa mitzvah. When you lay tefillin, there's a din. You put the shayad, put the shorosh. When you shake a lulav, when you sit in sukkah, there's a description of what the mitzvah is. When it comes to askanas, tzoche tzibur, there is no delineated maisa mitzvah over here. What's a mitzvah to go in a demonstration? It's a mitzvah to scream. What is a mitzvah? So if you do it lishma, then it's considered mitzvah. You don't do lishma, so it's by definition, it's not considered a mitzvah at all. So that's an unusual, that's an exceptional case. It's an unusual case here. When a person is doing askanas has to be l'shem shamayim. Otherwise, bechlal, no, there's no kima mitzvah at all. The Mishnah has a Mishnah Dalet, a very important klal. Who hayoyim? I already forgot who's speaking here. Rabbi Gamliel ben Osher, Rabbi Yoram Nasi. Okay, who hayoyim? One of the things that he says is, this is Hillel says, Al tifresh min hatzibur. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva lists off all the people who are going to be punished. They're going to lose Olam Haba. One of them is Aparish Medarkei Hatzibur. So the Ravid is Masig. What Aveira exactly did he do, the Aparish Medarkei Hatzibur? Was he Oved Avodah Zarah? Was he Mechal Shabbos? So we have punishments for that. What did the Rambam mean that Aparish Medarkei Hatzibur and Lachelik Olam Haba? So the truth of the matter is, the Rambam says, a Purish Medarkei Hatzibur, he keeps Shabbos and Kash Vizitaris HaMishpacha. He observes all the mitzvahs and the Torah, doesn't do any Averis. But in Yiddish there's an expression, Emech Shabbos Vazich. He's all on his own, he doesn't join in with the community. He doesn't daven in shul, he always davens b'yichidus. And when they're raising money for some Tzorchei Tzibur, he never participates. When they go to Tainus, he doesn't participate. He keeps what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He leads his own life, keeps on his own. So Hillel said that itself is an Aver. That itself is an Aveira. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik said that his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, interpreted, there is a Rambam in Hilchas Shechita, where the Rambam lists off all the different treifas, and then the Rambam says certain cases that the animal is a treifa mid the Rabbanon, means on the level of the Reis, it's mutar tzolim the Rabbanon. And then once in a while you have an Issa Treifa Mitam Minig. It's not even awesome the Rabbanim, but the Minig is at Yasa. So the Rambam describes a certain situation of a Treifa. So he says it's Mutter, and even if there's a Minig to Aser it, the Minig is not binding, because the Minig is only binding on a thing that comes up frequently. But if it's very infrequent, he can't say what the Minig is. Why not? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained that the Rambam's opinion is, say, we follow in Shulchan Aruch and Yeridei, the Torah Chelek Yeridei, we follow the opinion of the Balei HaTosfos, quoted by the Ran and the Dorim, that Minhagim are binding mitam neder midirabbanan. That's a simple reading in the Gemara, in the Dorim Daf Tezvov, and later in the Dorim Daf Pei, that there's Bal Yachal midirabbanan, if a person violates a minhag toif. Minator, it's not a neder, it's not a shvur, because you need Minator, you need levate bisosaim. Nefesh kisu shoba levate bisosaim is a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra. So if the person never took a shvur b'peh, never took a neder b'peh, so it's not binding. But midrabanan, but there is a din Minator. Let's say a person takes a neder b'leiv, he's going to donate a korban to the Beis Hamikdash. So that is binding Minator. The Gemara learns that from the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, that it says, Kol Nadiv Leib Oilus Hevil, whoever had been Menadev, a Korban Oila Belibo, brought the Korbanos at the beginning of the Baisheni period. So the Rabbana, they extended it and they said, any Neder Belave, any Shvur Belave, Lidvar Mitzvah, for Admitis Chasidus, is binding with the Rabbana as if you had taken a Neder. So if the person, let's say, has a Minik Taiv, and then he decides he wants to discontinue observing the minig type. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you need a hataras in the dorm. Because when the Rabbanan, the minig is binding mitam neder. It's not binding in Atar because it's lacking levate bisasayim. But when the Rabbanan, we consider it a minig. We consider it like a neder or a shvo. So the Rambam does not understand the Gemara like that. That's the understanding of the Balei HaTosfos. The Ran quotes from Balei HaTosfos. The Rambam understood it as follows, that there's an issue. How can one observe a minig, a midas chasidus? Shouldn't that perhaps be a violation of Bal Tosef? We have 613 mitzvah. He's adding out another mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no, a minig is like a neder. Whenever you take a neder, let's say a person is overweight, and the doctor says he has to go on a diet, he has to stop eating potato chips and ice cream and cookies and whatever. He's afraid he's going to violate the doctor's instructions. So he takes a neder, he's not going to eat it. So when a person takes a neder, it smacks from Bal Tosef. In addition to the mitzvahs and the Torah, add on another mitzvah. So the Gemara says it's a bit of an issue, but strictly speaking, the Torah says there's a parshanim of the Dorim Mishvah, so it's not considered Bal Tosef. So too, the Gemara says a minig is like a neder. Just like a neder looks a little bit like Bal Tosef, but it isn't. So too, if a person observes a Midas Chasidus, it's permissible to observe, not that you're obligated to observe a minig like you're obligated to observe a neder, that is by Yacham the Rabbanan. That's what the simple reading in the Gemara is, by Yacham Midirabbanan. So the Rambam writes in the Tshuva that that's not the pshat. It means one is permitted to observe a minig toiv, and there's no violation of Bal Tosef, just like in a neder, there's no violation of Bal Tosef. So the only time the Rambam, that's where Moshe Soloveitchik explained in the Rambam, the only time the Rambam holds that a minig is binding is a minig atzibur. If it's a minig ayochid, it's not binding. Minig atzibur, he doesn't follow, that's a violation of haporish medarki atzibur. He knows not doing... He's not worshipping Avodah Zarah. If he breaks himself off from the tzibur, that itself is an issa. So that's what the Rambam adds on in Hilchas Shechita. If you have a minig to aser a certain treifa, that's very rare. It comes up once every 20 years, such a shiloh. If you live in a little village, it comes up once every 20 years. In America, we have slaughterhouses, and they shecht over there for the whole United States. So it comes up every day. Because we shecht in one day more than they would shecht in the village all 20 years. So the Rambam is talking little villages. If a certain shayla of a treifas comes up very rarely, once every 20 years, they can't say the minig is that we don't need. Okay, it's a minig b'dovish ein erogel. So you can't consider him a parish medarkei hatzibur. That was the pshat in the Rambam. So this is a separate issa. Parish medarkei is a separate issa. The Misnagdim have a famous interpretation in the Mishnah, V'loyam ha'aretz chassid. The chassid is the one who does lifnim mishur asadin. So the Misnagdim said, what does he mean lifnim mishur asadin? He does against the din. The Hasidim all do, by definition, everything they do is against the din. So if he's an Am Haaretz, half the time he'll think he's doing against the din, he's really following the din. So that's why it says, Elai Am Haaretz Chassid. If you're an Am Haaretz, you don't know what the din is, so you can't be a Chassid. Because the Chassid, by definition, has to do always connected the din. If Nimeshur is a din. You have to be a Talmid Chacham to know what the din is, and then to do Fakir. That's how the Misnagdim interpreted the Mishnah. Of course, that's not what it means. The Mishnah has so many recommendations that are so important. Everything is important here. In Mishnah Yud, in Perek Beis Mishnah Yud, you have the din. Yikvod chavercha chavod valecha kishaloch. Then there's another Mishnah. Mamon chavercha chavod valecha kishaloch. The Ramban on Bava Metzia Daf Lamed explains, the Gemara there says, it says by Hashavas Aveda, that if you see Chamor Achicha Toya Baderech, you see someone's animal, you know which farmer it belongs to, has a big, has, they have the symbol on the behemoth, who is the owner of the animal. So if you see that the animal is lost, and then hashav tishivim le'achicha, you should do hashavas aveda. And it says, kisira chamos achicha toye baderech v'hisalamto. You want to make believe you didn't see it. So it says lo suchel hisalem. So that's the pasuk pshat and the pasuk. If you see his animal v'hisalamto, you think you'll make believe that you didn't see it. You're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says an additional level of interpretation of the pasuk is v'hisalamto. Yes, you may make believe that you didn't see it. You may ignore it. Aye, that's exactly in contradiction to the whole mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So Gemara says sometimes there are rare cases where we say there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So what's such a case? So the Gemara says, oh, one case is I'm driving a car and the guy in front of me obviously is Jewish. He has on his license Daf Yomi or something like that. So one of the rabbis has such a license, Daf Yomi. So and then he has his luggage on top of the car, and I see the luggage rolled over and it fell into a cemetery on the side. And the guy's gone so fast, I can't catch up with him. I don't know his cell phone number. So I know who he is, let's say. I know whose license it is, Daf Yomi. So am I permitted to go do Hashavas Aveda? A coin should go into the Beis HaKvaris to pick up the Aveda, and I'll return it to him. So the Gemara says, no, you're not allowed to. You don't say Esedech Alei Sese. So the Gemara says, you don't need a Pasuk for his Alamto. I would figure that out on my own. I would figure out on my own because Mi Dachina Isura Mikami Mamoina. So the Ramban explains what it means. Isura means a mitzvah bin Adam Lamok, and Mamoina means a mitzvah bin Adam Lachaveira. We have a klal Esedech Alei Sese, but it doesn't apply the essay of Hashavas Avedas bin Adam Lachaveira. That is not Deicha Isur, it's not Deicha the Isur to Maskana, which is Ben Adam Lamakam. Why not? Why should there be such a rule? What's wrong? A mitzvah Shemaran Haber is not Deicha mitzvah Shemaran Lamakam. So Ramban explains there, he explains Allah Torah also, that all that mitzvah Shemaran Machaberai are based on the Pasuk, V'haftal Racha Kamoicha. I have to treat other people's needs as if they were my needs. I have to do Hashavas Aveda. I have to treat so I have to treat the other person's aveda as if it would have been my own aveda. So let's say the kohen is driving the car and he has the luggage on top and his luggage rolled over and it falls into the cemetery. Is he allowed to go into the cemetery to take care of his own aveda? Of course not. There's no essay. There's no essay. It's common sense. I want to retrieve my lost property. So I have to take care of it. Is a mitzvah to do Hashavas Aveda, but the essence, the nature of the mitzvah is to treat other people's needs as if they were your own needs. So if it would have been my own need, I wouldn't be allowed to be metame in the Beis HaKvaris. That's why I'm not allowed to be metame for other people either. And that's why there's sometimes a din, let's say, Talmid Chacham is walking in the street and he finds a piece of woman's underwear. So he's going to pick it up, then he's going to go to the women's section of shul, make an announcement, who lost the women's underwear? So if it would have been his own wife's underwear, he wouldn't embarrass himself to pick it up if it would be an embarrassing situation. So he's not mechuyev to do, if it's zokem v'ena lechvi chvoidoi, it's not lechvi chvoidoi to do the hashavas aveda. If he b'shelo eino machzir, if it would be his own aveda, he wouldn't embarrass himself to take care of it. So he's not mechuyev to do for other people either. The whole chiyev to do for others, the whole chiyev, they say the name of Rabbi Sol Salanter, comment, he was the founder of the whole Muslim movement, placing a lot of emphasis on mitzvah shebirah machaver, which were being neglected, still being neglected to a certain extent. So he said, the other person's gashmias is your ruchnias. It's when I take care of my own needs, so that's not a mitzvah, but to take care of someone else's need, that's a mitzvah. So that's what he used to say. The other person's gashmis, to take care of the other fellow's avedas, is your ruchnias. So the way the Ramban writes, it's not really so. The other person's gashmis, the Torah tells me I should consider it as if it's my gashmis. I have to take care of the other fellow's needs as if it would have been my own needs, but not to a greater extent. That's the klal in the Mishnah. They tell a story about there were two brothers, the Rebbe Reb Shmelke from Nikolsburg and the Hafloa were both learning by the Mezritcha Magid. Mezritcha Magid was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. They were learning in Poland by the Mezritcha Magid. So they both got rabbinical positions in Western Europe. It was a fluke. So the Hafloa became the rabbi in Frankfurt. And the Rebbe Reb Shmelke went to Nikolsburg by Yekes, both by Yekes. They didn't speak German, they spoke Yiddish, Polish Yiddish. It was a big fluke, it's a whole explanation, historical background. Why, how did it turn out that the two Chassidish brothers became Rabbanim by the Yekes? So they made a big Kabbalah upon him when the Rebbe Reb Shmelke came to Nikolsburg. They made a big Kabbalah upon him, big reception in his honor to greet him when he first came. So he asked if he can have a private room to rest up. He wants to prepare himself for the Kabbalah Sponim. So someone, one of the Balabatim, was wondering what is he going to do in the private room. So he knew which room they were going to give him. So he ran into the closet in the room and hid himself in the closet. And he left the door open a little bit so he'll be able to see what's going on. So he sees the way the Rebbe Reb Shmelke stands in front of the mirror and he's holding out Russia. And he says, welcome the holy tzaddik, the Rebbe Reb Shmelke, the God Lador, the big Talmid Chacham. And he's praising himself, looking into the mirror. So the guy thought he's crazy. He flipped his lid. So he's hiding in the closet. Then he couldn't take it. After 5 minutes, he couldn't take it. So he jumps out of the closet. He says, are you crazy? What are you talking to yourself in the mirror? So he was stunned that there was somebody there. So he said, I know they're going to have a reception of my honor, and they're going to heap a lot of praises on me. I don't want it to go to my head. So when I praise myself, when a person praises himself, does go to his head. So he says, the Mishnah says, Yikvod chavercha, chavev alecha kishalach, the kavod that others give you should be the same as your own kavod. Just like when you give yourself kavod, it's meaningless. So too, when the other's going to praise myself, I wanted to practice now, speaking in the mirror, talking to myself, want to praise myself, so I shouldn't be nispal from that. So when they're going to say the same thing at the reception of my honor, I won't be nispal from what they say. That's a famous story from the Rebbe Reb Shmelke. Yikvod chavercha, chavu alecha kishaloch. The Mishnah has a statement, Em lamad ha-Torah harbe, al tachzik tov li'atzmocho ki lekach noitzorto. So the Poshe Pshat is, if you learned a lot of Torah, you excel in learning, you shouldn't let it go to your head. Al tachzik tov li'atzmocho. Because that man was Adam lo mal yulot. Man was created in order to have amal Torah, in order to learn Torah. So the Medrash Shmuel is a likut of Rishonim on Pirkei Avos, a separate sefer. So the Medrash Shmuel quotes another pshat from one of the Rishonim. Don't hoard the toiva. Doesn't mean don't hold from yourself. Don't let it go to your head. Atasik Toiva means the Torah. You shouldn't hoard all the knowledge for yourself, you have to share it with the others. Man was created in order to learn Torah, to transmit it to others. You're not allowed to learn Torah and keep it for yourself. In the days of the Balei HaTosis, they had Talmidim who would write notes. When they heard the Shurma of the Rabbi in the time and the Reed, they would write notes. And some of the Talmidim wouldn't want to share their notes with others who lived in other cities. So they used to complain about that. The Sefer Hasidim complains about that. You have to share the Torah knowledge with others. You're not allowed to hoard all the knowledge for yourself. I remember there was a single fellow who was learning at Rabbi Soloveitchik's class years ago. So someone asked, how long are you going to learn by Rabbi Soloveitchik? I'm going to learn so long so that the day will come that he'll show a piece of Gemara and he'll be the only one who knows Pshat and Gemara. No one else will know the Pshat and Gemara. That's Lomit Shalom Lishma. That's exactly Lomit Shalom Lishma. Now he happens to be a famous Rebbe in a yeshiva. But his whole learning originally was Shalom Lishma, just to show the whole world that he's the only one who knows how to learn. Nobody else knows how to learn. Okay. There's a lot more in Paradise. Should do well on your finals.
Should I bring the Mishnah?
Pardon me? I'll take it down. Thank you.